Weapon 4, resilience. You will get punched in the face. The resilient stop noticing. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Mike Tyson. In the past, if someone wanted to steal your idea, it might take 6 months. Now, with AI, it takes 6 minutes. Technology moves faster than talent. Capital moves faster than contracts. And the punches come from everywhere. Competitors, markets, machines. Resilience isn't a trait anymore. It's a capability. You build it the same way you build sales, marketing, or product. Because in a world that never stops hitting, the skill that keeps you standing is the one that keeps you alive. When the financial crisis hit, my company was nearly destroyed overnight. Contracts vanished. Cash dried up. Payroll didn't. It took working 20-hour days for 3 years with no end in sight. One wrong move and it was over. That's when I learned resilience isn't motivation. It's systems. It's not a feeling. It's a framework that lets you keep moving when logic says, stop. Most people think resilience is grit. It's not. It's discipline under collapse. It's clarity under chaos. It's the ability to perform when your world is burning. The five tactics of resilience. Tactic one, not work-life balance. Constant obsession plus daily release. There's no balance, only intense burn and release. Empty the tank each day so it doesn't explode. Tactic two, sleep. The entrepreneur's way. Who has time to sleep? No one unless we do it the entrepreneur's way. The resilient recover on purpose. Tactic three, only spend time and energy on what you can control. Work the problem, not the emotion. Energy is currency. Spend it wisely. Tactic four, build systems that can take a punch. Emotion breaks under pressure, systems don't. Tactic five, don't evaluate your life in the middle of the fight. When you're getting hit, perspective disappears. Stay standing. You can reflect after the bell rings. Most people think resilience is an attitude, but attitude alone runs out of gas. True resilience is an aptitude, a set of skills you can build, measure, and train. When the next punch comes, and it will, you won't rise because you feel strong. You'll rise because you're built for it. In a world where AI moves faster than you ever could, your ability to bend but not break is the one skill they'll never automate. Tactic one, not work-life balance, constant obsession plus daily release. Everywhere you look, people preach work-life balance. Entrepreneurs know that's bullshit. You don't build something great by balancing. You build it by being obsessed. When you don't have the people, the money, the process, or the brand, obsession is the glue that holds it together. It makes you show up when logic says quit. It lets you fight one more round when everything feels lost. But obsession alone will burn you alive. To sustain it, you need a release every day. A release is anything that pulls you completely out of your head the moment you get lost. When your favorite song comes on and your body moves before your brain catches up. Not balance, constant obsession, daily release. Release isn't betrayal of your obsession. It's what makes obsession sustainable. It's the pressure valve that lets you keep going when everything in you wants to stop. Without it, obsession breaks you. With it, obsession builds you. The daily release framework. I learned this the hard way during the collapse when 20-hour days became normal and there was no finish line. The only way to keep going was to let the pressure out before it crushed me. Release isn't rest, it's renewal. It's how you make resilience sustainable. You can't just relax, you have to release to fully empty yourself so you can fill back up. What matters isn't what you do, but that you do it every day. For me, sweat every day at 5 a.m., every day. And one afternoon I watched my niece and nephew, 3 and 5 years old, for a few hours. neither cared about my cash flow problems. They just wanted to play. For those moments, it was pure joy, pure release. Here are a few to choose from. It doesn't matter which one you choose, as long as you do one every day to let the pressure out. Physical releases get out of your head and into your body. Lift or train until thought gives way to heartbeat. Run, cycle, hike, motion as meditation. Box, roll, spar, turn aggression into discipline. Yoga, stretching, breath work, intensity through control. Cold plunge, sauna, shock and purge. Swim, float, immerse, water resets the nervous system. Massage, pressure that forces surrender. Foot massage, intense pressure in the right spots. Creative releases, channel obsession into expression. Music, sing, play, dance, or blast it until you feel again. Writing or journaling, dump the noise onto paper. Art, design, photography, film, translate emotion into form. Cooking or gardening, creation you can taste or touch. Connection releases, remember why you fight. Play with your kids or your dog, joy without agenda. Dinner with family or friends, presence without performance. Mentor someone, gratitude through giving. Sensory releases, full immersion, pure presence. Music, rhythm as therapy. Sex, intensity that empties the mind. Movies and storytelling, lose yourself in another world. Reading fiction, live someone else's life for an hour. Mental plus spiritual releases, quiet the noise. Meditation, prayer, stillness as reset. Long walks or drives with no destination. Nature, quiet that humbles and recenters you. Gratitude and faith, remembering you're more than the battle. You can only carry the weight so long before it crushes you. Release isn't weakness, it's survival. Entrepreneurs don't seek balance, they seek rhythm. Obsession, release, obsession, release. Every day, that rhythm is how you endure the endless grind without losing yourself in it. Resilience begins here, learning to let go before you explode. Here's the survival law. Work-life balance is for people chasing comfort. Obsession and daily release are for people built to survive. Tactic 2, sleep, the entrepreneur's way. Who has time to sleep? No one, unless you do it the entrepreneur's way. When the crisis hit, my company was almost destroyed overnight. Contracts vanished, cash dried up, payroll still loomed. For 3 years, we worked 20-hour days with no end in sight, and we had to be at our best. One wrong move and it was over. One night, a friend looked at me and said, "You look like shit. You need some sleep." I laughed. "Who has time to sleep?" That's when it hit me. Sleep couldn't be a luxury. It had to become a skill. The entrepreneur's way of sleeping. One, daily naps. Micro reboots, 20 to 30 minutes. Long enough to flush the noise, short enough to avoid the fog. Couch, car, floor. Wherever you can steal quiet. Each nap buys a few more hours of clarity and a few more right decisions. Two, 8 hours once a week, full recharge. You won't get eight every night. Pick one night and force it. Mine was Wednesday. Shut it down at 10 p.m., sleep 8 hours straight. One deep night refuels the week. Three, sleep on command, the shutdown switch. At 2 a.m., you can't fix payroll, but you can protect tomorrow's brain. Train this. Head hits pillow, then sleep. No guilt, no thinking. Lights out. Here's the survival law. Sleep isn't rest, it's reloading. You don't do it to escape, you do it to perform. Who has time to sleep? No one, unless you do it the entrepreneur's way. Tactic 3, only spend time and energy on what you can control. Work the problem, not the emotion. When the oxygen tank exploded on Apollo 13, the mission changed from exploration to survival. Panic crept in. What if spiraled? Captain Jim Lovell cut it off. There are 100 things that have to happen in order. We're on number 8. You're talking about 92. Work the problem. Translation, work the problem. If you don't stay on 8, you never reach 9. When my company was collapsing, the same rule applied. Every day there were 10 fires and oxygen for 3. If I spent energy on fear or hypotheticals, we lost ground. If I focused only on what we could actually move, we survived another day. Resilience isn't unbreakable. It's directing a scarce energy budget to the few things that matter and refusing to fund anything else. The operating principle. Only spend time and energy on what you can control, not on what might happen, not on what should have happened, not on what someone else ought to do. Time and energy are your most expensive fuel. Burn them only on levers that move the ship. The Apollo 13 method, a framework for daily survival. 1, define the problem you can actually move. Number 8, write the problem in one simple sentence. If it includes other people's decisions, the economy, or luck, rewrite it until it's yours. 2, control, influence, ignore, CII, triage. Sort every issue into 3 buckets. Control, actions you can execute unilaterally. Influence, outcomes you can shape but don't own. Ignore, everything else. Spend 80% on control, 20% on influence, 0% on ignore. 3, pick today's 3. You'll always have 100 hours of work and 10 hours of time. Choose 3 actions that actually move the needle. Do them in order, no multitasking. When your mind drifts to number 692, say back to 8. 4, plan, execute until complete. Create the plan, then stop replanning. In chaos, constant replanning is procrastination wearing a spreadsheet. Execute twice a day and focus sprints. 5, kill doom loops on site. What if we lose the deal? What if payroll bounces? If a thought doesn't change today's actions, park it on a worry list and return to number 8. 6, protect the energy budget. Every yes steals fuel. Shorten meetings, default to no, batch communication, and sleep the entrepreneur's way. 7, win inches, not movies. Resilience is inches. Close one blocker, ship one fix, get one invoice paid. Stack inches until momentum returns. What this looks like. Cash crunch. Don't forecast disaster. Call 5 customers who owe you today. Renegotiate 1 vendor today. Convert idle assets today. Product delays. Stop rewriting the roadmap. Ship the smallest shippable unit that helps 1 customer today. Slipping deal. Stop perfecting the deck. Book the meeting, confirm next steps, send a price in writing today. Here's the survival law. Work the problem. Stay on number 8. If it isn't in your control or influence bucket, it doesn't get your fuel. Tactic 4, build systems that can take a punch. When the world collapses, process keeps you standing. When the crisis hit, it felt like a tsunami. Every day another customer folded. Every night another spreadsheet of bad news. The market was chaos. The rules kept changing. And everything that used to work stopped working. Today, the same thing is happening again, only faster. AI moves at lightning speed. Entire industries shift overnight. The tools we relied on yesterday become obsolete tomorrow. You can't control the storm, but you can build systems that take the waves. Structure creates stability. When everything around you is collapsing, process is oxygen. The more chaotic the world gets, the more structure you need, not bureaucracy, rhythm. Long before the crisis, we built discipline into the business. Weekly meetings across every key function, sales, marketing, operations, money, each with a clear agenda, clear KPIs, clear accountability, When the tsunami came, those systems became armor. We didn't invent new meetings. We compressed the rhythm. Weekly 1 hours became 15-minute daily huddles when we needed them most. Same time, same format, same focus. Each huddle followed ruthless structure. Performance versus goals. Where are we today? KPIs. What numbers tell us we're alive or bleeding? Action items. What must move before tomorrow? Attention items. What's breaking that needs a fix? 15 minutes. No stories. No slides. No excuses. Just facts. Accountability. Forward motion. Systems build resilience. Resilience isn't just emotional toughness. It's operational discipline. The ability to keep functioning when everything is on fire. In an AI-accelerated world, fires spread faster than ever. Meeting rhythm, weekly, daily huddles when speed matters. Ritual creates accountability. Accountability beats panic. One dashboard for truth, sales, cash, deliverables, updated daily. One source of truth or you die by rumor. Tight decision loops. Define, decide, document, move. The loop must run faster just to stay even. Redundancy for the critical few. Map the five things that can kill you and assign backups. No single point of failure. Written playbooks for every recurring task. When you can't think straight, process thinks for you. Postmortems without emotion, 10 minutes. What worked, what failed, what changes. No judgment, just iteration. Build systems before you need them. You can't pour a foundation in a hurricane. Lock your rhythm. Build the dashboard. Create redundancy. Write the plays. Train the team. When the world collapses, right, market crash or AI shockwave, it's not the strongest who survive. It's the structured. Here's the survival law, systemized survival. When the tsunami comes, emotion won't save you. Systems will. Tactic five, don't evaluate your life in the middle of the fight. Don't evaluate your life in the middle of the fight. After every championship bout, Jim Lampley asked the winner, "What's next? Are you going to retire?" Fresh from 2 hours of punches, the champ grins, "Of course I'm going to retire." 2 weeks later, rested, repaired, hungry, that same fighter is back promising he's nowhere near done. You can't decide how you feel about your life while you're still in the ring. What we feel. This is much harder than I thought. When things go wrong, the mind wanders. Why am I doing this? Am I cut out for it? Am I happy? Entrepreneurs hit moments when the gears grind and the questions start. What am I doing? I never sleep. Everyone thinks I'm crazy. My family barely sees me. Ask any entrepreneur under truth serum how often it happens. At least once a week and always after 10 hard rounds, never after a win. Why evaluating mid-fight destroys you. It drains the fuel you need to move forward. Deep questions steal energy from the tasks that actually fix the problem. It warps judgment. Exhaustion makes everything look worse. The grass seems greener everywhere else. It leads to bad decisions. Mid-fight, you can't tell venting from quitting. You can't evaluate whether or how to fight while you're still getting hit. How to evaluate without self-destructing. Schedule reflection. Every 2 weeks, block 2 quiet hours. Be brutally honest. Ask 4 questions. Am I happy? Do I still feel energy from progress? Is the pressure worth the sacrifice? What drains me that I can stop or delegate? Do I still want to be the builder or the visionary? Keep a worry list. When thoughts hit midweek, park them. Empty them during the check-in. Most will have shrunk. Impose a 24-hour rule. No major decisions within 24 hours of a major hit or win. Eat, sleep, then decide. Experiment, don't overhaul. End with 1 14-day experiment. Small test, not a grand reinvention. Stand first, assess later. Mid-fight, adrenaline lies. After the bell, truth speaks. the real definition of resilience. Most people think resilience is an attitude, grit, will, the never quit speech. Attitude matters. Without it, you don't make it into the ring. But attitude alone runs out of gas. The hits get harder. The nights get longer. Willpower burns out. Real resilience isn't just attitude, it's aptitude. It's a set of skills and systems that keep you moving when motivation fails. The meetings that keep you focused, the sleep that keeps you sharp, the release that lets you breathe, the discipline to work the problem, not the panic, the awareness to stand before you assess. When you combine the attitude to endure with the aptitude to execute, you become more than tough. You become unbreakable. Here's the survival law. Resilience isn't just the ability to take a punch. It's the skill to keep standing long enough to win the fight.